right. Who's entitled? It's both private and public sector. Laws are a little bit different when you look at the disability side, but all employees, depending on the size for private employers, right? It's 15 plus for ADA and Title VII. You also have to look at your state laws because some states have lower thresholds and different definitions. So if you're dealing with, you know, the joys of the remote workforce, as I know we talked about yesterday, this is one of the things to consider, is just because you're not covered by the ADA doesn't mean you might not be covered by a local statute or even an ordinance. And then other sources of legally mandated, and I crossed out the term accommodations. I actually changed my font there. That was a big move for me. modifications, okay? So if you go all the way back to that definition that we were talking about, what does it mean to be accommodating, right? You know, giving up your seat to someone on the train is being accommodating. You know, scooching over so that they can add their chair into your table, that's being accommodating, right? And, you know, just going back over the legal accommodations, that's not the same thing. But there are other types of things that happen in the legal context, in the employment context, that are modifications to the way things are usually done. So even though we don't call them accommodations like we do under the ADA or with Title VII, there are other sources for departures from business as usual, which really, if you think about it, that's what an accommodation is. It's a departure from either a, you know, an environment situation, a work rule, a dress rule, a standard for performance, production, all those kinds of things, right? Leave laws, you know, certainly we have the FMLA that's, you know, 50 plus. Military leave, that's an accommodation. You know, somebody's in the reserves and they need their annual 2 weeks off, that's something you have to accommodate, right? With a little a. So maybe we'll say accommodation with a big A versus accommodation with a little a. That's something you have to accommodate because of the rules around leave. And light duty and workers' compensation, how those play. Adjusting your rules to avoid discrimination claims. For example, you know, different grooming standards for women and men. You know, requiring a woman to wear a skirt and hose. I don't know if it was the same with you, but when I first started practicing, it was skirt and hose, wasn't it?
Since I'm well before you, yes. Blue, black.
Yes, that was the rule, right? Spoken or unspoken. We've, again, changed. You know, I noticed, it doesn't look like everybody's wearing yoga pants today. I'm wearing a stretchy suit, which I never could have gotten away with 20 years ago. So, you know, these adjustments to avoid discrimination claims around different standards for women versus men, like requiring females to wear makeup but not males, or jewelry rules, or those kinds of things. So you may have to make some adjustments there if a person says, I don't want to wear lipstick and you can't make me. Okay. And then unique situations like what happened in Texas with vaccines and masks and our governor's rules, right? So then you have these unique situations that 4 years ago, 3 years ago, maybe 2 years ago, we wouldn't have had to think about an adjustment to business as usual. Well, we had to all adjust to business as usual, and then we had to adjust some more. So there are a lot of things that can happen culturally, legally, just evolution of timely, that will change the way an employer may approach, quote, business as usual in their workplace. So what we're going to talk about is certainly mostly the ADA side and the religion side, but how all this stuff plays together. Especially leave is one. We don't spend a ton of time on that in our scenarios, but the intersection of accommodation and leave is one of those that we used to call it the Bermuda Triangle of workers' comp, FMLA, and ADA, right? They're all a little different, and you almost have to lay it out in a little bit of a chart to understand, okay, FMLA, just because I've exhausted my FMLA leave doesn't mean I might not need a little bit more or a little bit different kind of leave in order to accommodate my disability. Those two things sometimes go very well in hand. ADA and FMLA, how military leave comes into that, including the extended FMLA that's available in the military leave context when you have a family member. Workers' comp leave, whether you've got light duty and ADA. So it's you can accommodate this for light duty, but now that light duty's up, I can't have this forever? How does that work, right? How do you manage the different accommodation standards between those two? And then you also have state-mandated leaves of absence. And sometimes they're small, like a few days a year, the mandatory sick leaves examples that come from a lot of municipalities, or a state that provides domestic violence leave. That person might get a certain amount of leave in order to deal with the courtroom stuff that they have to deal with their safety. But then they may also end up needing a different kind of leave because the experience with the domestic violence either caused or triggered a condition that is either FMLA qualifying or ADA qualifying, right? So when you're thinking of these terms of accommodation, leave, and accommodation with a small a, in other words, changes to business as usual, all of this stuff has to be considered together. Okay? And then you also obviously have to be thinking about how it works within your environment. Because when you're reading the cases, they're mostly focused on that one person. You know, Laura needed this. Is it reasonable to give Laura this? But what about Laura's coworker? You know, Laura's got privacy rights, right? So maybe the coworker doesn't know why Laura has the ability to come into work when she feels like it, or she gets to have an adjusted time or, you know, a certain number of breaks because that information is on a need-to-know basis only. And then that person, what if they're a different age or a different race than the accommodated employee? How might they perceive that? So these are some of the practical things we'll talk about in a minute. But first, I'm going to hand this over to Melinda to talk about the interactive process. So I can have some water.
Employment at will, hostile work environment, and the interactive process, the hardest things to understand if you're just a human being out there and don't have a law degree. The interactive process is a complicated dance. And it's, while we have two parties, they're not really equal in the interactive process. So it starts with basically the receipt of a request. Now, on the employee side,